Hello, everyone, and welcome to our first race recap analysis here of the Giro d'Italia 2023. It started with a very interesting time trial on the Abruzzo coastline. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Kruger himself, Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, is the Giro d'Italia over?
It's a big question. It's one we're all thinking right now. That's obviously because of the results. If you haven't seen today's time trial already, well, here you go. Remco Evenepoel took the opening stage win of this race, as you mentioned, on the Abruzzese coastline. He took it with a comfortable buffer of 22 seconds over Pippo Ganna. Jean made the best of the GC guys elsewhere, finished at 29 seconds. Theo Gegenhardt in fourth at 40 seconds. And then Primoz Roglic at 43 seconds. So this is why we're a little bit skeptical, a little bit in doubt and upset. Maybe the Giro d'Italia is over before we even have our road stage, because Remco Evenepoel just looks too good on the road.
I mean, yeah, in the early part of the day, we saw some really good times from, well, the UAE boys looked very good with Brendan McNulty, with Jay Vine, and then we even had Joao Almeida in the hot seat for a while as well, doing really well. So Theo Gegenhardt in the hot seat as well. Mats Pedersen was briefly there, but the Remco juggernaut just demolished that first intermediate time check, and then it just seemed like downhill for everyone else. Yeah, Primoz Roglic, Ewan, absolutely the Jumbo Visma HQ right now are going to be scrambling for any good things.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for them to sort of write a positive review about today. They've missed the mark with a number of their riders. Only one rider in top 10 for a time trial. That's quite surprising. This is a sort of time trial super team. Roglic missing the mark. He got beaten in terms of GC time by Theo Gegenhardt, which is a surprise. Gegenhardt rode really well, but you wouldn't have expected that before today. Team had been ripped apart by illness. I don't think Roglic looked super fluid on the bike, didn't look 100% comfortable. That's, of course, my opinion. Probably can be counteracted by the power output and whatever, but it didn't seem right. It seemed like something was missing there, and there's plenty more stages to go, but 42, 43 seconds? It's a lot of time to gain back on road stages already at this point in the race. And you can't help but think that that he's on the back foot already, even behind some of these other contenders in Almeida and Gegenhardt. But Remco Evenepoel, we were saying it, speculating ever since last year, could he lead it from start to finish? Well, it certainly is. It seems pretty possible now.
I mean, yeah, it's very Eddy Merckx-esque, that leading a Grand Tour from start to finish. I mean, I think Gianni Bugno did the same thing. And if he does this, well, it's the demoralizing thing is that we have so much more time trialing to go that, and he, yeah, speechless. That's literally what we are. But we know he has such a solid squad. We know that they've literally just come from the Vuelta a España win last year, and they're going to try and do the same thing, defend this jersey. And Ewan, Primoz Roglic, we know he's an aggressive rider, he's a punchy rider, but this is a huge gap to claw back, because you would assume that he loses more time on the next time trial, so he's going to have to make up, yeah, a massive gap here. And where does it come from?
Beginning with Gran Sasso d'Italia, on stage 7, that's a kind of stage where you would think Roglic could sprint at the end of that one and get the win, like he did at Ossia Merlet back in the 2020 Tour de France. Elsewhere, it's hard before Cesena, that TT. Maybe Evenepoel will give the pink jersey to a breakaway rider or something on stage, is it stage 4 or 5? There's a hilly stage. Maybe he'll give the jersey to someone in the breakaway just to, like, sort of chill for a couple of days, so the team don't have to control it from start to finish. That will also add an element of fatigue as well. Can Evenepoel be conservative and guard that jersey for 3 weeks? Well, we'll find out. He was very good with the jersey last year at the Vuelta a España, rode very well in sort of the end of the first week and got a big enough gap at the end of the first week and second week of racing to really sort of be comfortable for the rest of that race, even when he had a bit of a meltdown at Sierra Nevada in the mountains. So I suspect it's looking really good for Remco Evenepoel. We'll be honest, it's looking very, very good. It's pointing towards success. It's hard to sort of see alternative challenges coming in. I know it's only been one stage and they haven't even raced, like, physically side by side. It was an individual time trial, and that's what Evenepoel's good at. But just the margin of victory today, he was, what, a kilometre an hour faster than Ganna in the whole course. That's insane. This is Pippo Ganna. Like, Pippo Ganna is one of the best time trialers we've seen in a very long time. He pumps out crazy numbers. And Evenepoel now, he must just be on incredible form. But can he keep that form all this way through? We're seeing huge numbers right now. Are we going to be seeing huge numbers That's the Montelusari time trial. And in on stage 20, are we going to be seeing these numbers when we go into the mountains at the Dolomites, for instance, in that final week of racing? With the tough day to come on stage 19 and 17, that's up for interpretation, but it's looking very good at the moment.
I mean, it is true. You're right. We can just think back to Primoz Roglic 2019, where he won the opening time trial in San Luca, and everyone was thinking, whoa, this is over now. The Giro is over. And then at the end of it, it's Richard Carapaz who stands on the top step of the podium. So everything could happen. Simon Yates blowing up as well in 2018. Yeah. Not literally. But yeah.
Also, just like, we've seen it so many times where we think like, oh, it's over. And we like jump to conclusions in the first week of racing because we have a couple of good results. And then so the tables turn as the race gets sort of more textured and there's more going on. That could still happen here. To 40 seconds, it seems big at the moment, but really that could be Roglic dropping Evenepoel in a mountain stage in that final week of racing. It could change. But the fact that we have a time trial in Cesena in 1 week time, are we going to see another big sort of exhibition there? Are we going to see Evenepoel win another stage? Is he going to put more a minute or so into his rivals? It's it's hard for the neutral fan to sort of see excitement in this. And I apologize if we seem down, but this battle between Roglic and Remco that we were expecting hasn't quite materialized on day one. That's not to say it won't elsewhere. I think Scott, there are other riders that have performed particularly well today that do sort of whet our appetite for what could come.
Yeah, we might as well start with Joao Almeida, UAT Emirates. I mean, three riders in the top 10. And does this kind of settle the question of who the leader is in that team, or is it still a bit up for grabs, do you think?
I think it does settle it. I think all those riders really, really wanted a good result. You could see Jay Vine at the end really sort of really targeting it. He's been putting in so much work in the offseason on his time trialing ability. And a top 10 today, he was in the hot seat for a while as well. Looked really strong. McNulty, similarly, there's no way he can be a leader, I'm sorry, but he's a good climber, and this performance shows that he's evidently on good form. But Almeida, I was actually really surprised with. I was in sort of videos we've done in the past and in the Echelon Cycling podcast, I was sort of poo-pooing Almeida's TTing ability over the past year. Hasn't quite been on the same as before, but this was a really good result for Almeida. I think he can be very happy with this one. And in particular, he put in quite a bit of time on the climb. That final kicker to the line, he was quicker than some of the other GC contenders. So I would suspect that Almeida is on pretty good form and could perform particularly well at the Giro. I would say, yeah, he's one of my big sort of pleasant surprises of the day.
I mean, just a side note, we didn't actually see any failures in terms of crashes or anything. So that was quite remarkable by the whole field, unless something happened in the back markers that they didn't give any coverage to. But I mean,
random at Nolte, fair play.
Yes, and pretty much Roglic and Geraint Thomas. But I mean, speaking of Ineos Grenadiers, Theo Gegenhardt, fourth place, that is something that none of us really predicted at the start of the day. He's not the worst TT rider in terms of the GC riders, but he's certainly not one we would put down for a top five today.
No, he's not. And I mean, it is a big surprise. Even looking back in his performances at the 2020 Giro that he won, the opening time trial of that year's race, poor performance in the hundreds. In the rolling stage, that was won by Pippo Ganna, if you recall, when Almeida was in the pink jersey. It was like kind of a hilly long TT, finished in 13th place in that one, and then he finished in 13th place in the final TT around Milan. He's not a guy that you like see as a time trialing threat, but he performed really, really well in this time trial, and it shows that he's evidently got good legs. Even on the flatland that we had before the final climb to the finishing line, Theo looked really good. So I'm really surprised by him. I think it points towards good things for him as well. A couple of his teammates also had pretty solid rides. So Ineos, I think, I'm quite excited to see what they can bring in the mountains. I think a good Ineos mountain train akin to the Sky train of years gone by could be on the cards. And that's exciting for the competition, at least.
Yeah, podium maybe. But I mean, looking towards that podium challenge that we think, well, who knows, it might be even up for grabs to second place at this point. But like Vlasov even managed to get inside top 10. So Bora, the defending team in terms of defending that title from last year with Jared Hindley. Jack Haig, not a great ride, losing over a minute and a half, unfortunately. Hugh Carthy as well, almost 2 minutes lost. And yeah, Ewan, there's a few riders that definitely will need to go on an offensive here when it comes to the mountains for sure.
Well, it's not good news because we have that TT, that 30 kilometer long TT in Cesena next weekend. Like, if you're losing 2 minutes now, then how much time are you going to be losing in Cesena? It does make you think. Yeah, Hugh Carthy can sort of stop thinking about the podium and start thinking about 8th, 7th place. Similarly, I mean, Sasha Vlasov, I was quite underwhelmed by his performance today. I was expecting a solid like top six potentially, but missing the mark a little bit there. He's a minute, well, less than 1 minute down. Some other riders as well. Kemner, who is sort of, I know our German fans, hi, if you're watching, you've been commenting a lot that Kemner is the leader for Bora Hansgrohe, but he did not perform today. He's a good time trialist on paper, always has been, and missed the mark. Caruso lost 1.5 minutes today. Timur Arensman, who was up there with the best in 2022 in the time trials, he lost a minute and a half. There's quite a few riders I'm just a little bit underwhelmed by today, and we'll probably have to sort of reevaluate their GC game. Even looking towards like Davide Formolo, Aurélien Paris-Peintre, Domenico Pozzovivo. Yeah, there's quite a few where I'm like, I like exhale, sigh in underwhelmingness.
So, I mean, last point. Do you think Remco Evenepoel is going to win the Giro d'Italia? So we can play this back at the end. And then I think he hasn't won it. I think he might be under a bit of pressure. But do you think Remco Evenepoel has won the 2023 Giro d'Italia?
Personally, yes. I've been saying that Remco will win the Giro for a while. And I think I stand by that. I think today was just, it was so, so strong. But at the same time, things can still change. I don't think, I wouldn't bet my house in it. If I had a house, I wouldn't bet my house in it. But yeah, it's looking very good, isn't it?
It's like you said, we're not going to see that World Championships jersey in the whole Giro.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah.
What a shame.
You'll win the white jersey. I think that's possible.
But anyways, that's it for this, well, sort of bleak stage recap of the first stage of the Giro d'Italia. Make sure to tune in for every single one of them that we're going to be doing. We're doing previews as well. The stream as well over on the Cycling Dane channel. And of course, as always, thank you very much for watching and have a nice day.